On this episode of the Variable Podcast, I had the great pleasure being joined by the Soa the Hulk Pelele. We had a quick conversation about his upcoming fight in the UFC, how he got into MMA, just a variety of fight-related topics. I really enjoyed the conversation. It was a pleasure for him to come on and do the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed as well. If you do, please take a minute and rate and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Really appreciate you coming on my podcast. I've been telling friends of mine, and you know, I've mentioned you a couple times on different podcasts. Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of MMA, and a lot of my friends are. A lot of the guys that I've had on, you know, they're fans, and you know, we've talked about, you know, the heavyweight division in the UFC, you know, like who some of the top guys are, you know, there's been a couple times that I've brought you up with somebody that I think, you know, obviously you're very hungry for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're exactly 12 hours difference on our time.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll see, like, you know, what's 4 or 5 in the afternoon for me, which is like 4 or 5 in the morning for you, and you're already up and, you know, out for a run or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I'm hustling. I'm up at 4:30, man, hustling. So,
wow. So you live in Perth, that's correct?
Yeah, I live in Perth.
And that is like the most isolated, like major metropolitan area in the world, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I remembered that correctly, but you know, wanted to make sure of that. What's that like? I mean, have you always lived in Perth or?
Yeah, I've always lived in Perth. I've traveled around a lot, all over the world. But Perth, I'm always back in Perth. So,
yeah, and so obviously you really like it there.
Yeah, Perth is good. It's nice. It's it reminds me of a place in America in Temecula.
Oh like, yeah,
real nice. Yeah,
Temecula, California.
Because I used to live there with Team Quest, so it reminds you of that place. It's nice, so it's, you know, it's really chilled out place, and it's cool.
Right on, that's cool. Yeah, I lived several years in the San Francisco Bay Area, so yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's a good point of reference there. So it's like Temecula.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you always been interested in fighting? I mean, like, whenever you were a kid, what were you into other sports growing up, or was it always, you know, you wanted to compete, you know, in fighting?
I've always, I boxed as a kid, and I did some rugby as well, like rugby union as I was growing up as well. But same time I was doing rugby, I was, you know, wrestling and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and this was like 16 years ago when I started, and that's when, you know, it was. MMA wasn't even out back then. I mean, it was, but it was, you know, a lot of people were against it, and, you know, people didn't understand it. And, you know, the only place you'd have to go to get, you know, you'd go to Japan or, you know, or in Brazil, and because they understood it. So, and the rest of the world were still coming on board. Obviously, you have the UFC in America when they first had the, you know, UFC 1, 2, and so, so, you know, the Americans were starting to kind of get on board with it. And obviously, when Zuffa kind of took over, it blew up. You know, when Dana White and kind of, you know, stepped in, it you know, just went up to another level. So it's, you know, to where, you know, MMA is at the moment, it's in such a good thing, because, you know, a lot of the guys are getting paid, you know, good money, and they can make a living out of it with sponsorship and fights. So, but it's good. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's amazing to see it. From whenever I was, you know, say like 10 years ago when I was, you know, like just out of high school, you know, yep. It was just starting to really catch on and kind of come into the mainstream here in America anyway. And then from where it's come from then, just over 10 years to now, it's unbelievable. It's like bigger than it's bigger than like American football almost. It's pretty amazing. So, you were into wrestling and boxing and jiu-jitsu, and then what made you decide to kind of like tie all those together and get into MMA? Was there a certain thing?
Well, was my coach at the time, you know, kind of, you know, said, why don't you, you know, do MMA? So I thought, yeah, okay, because I already started learning kind of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and I was kind of hooked on it. Then I competed in competitions and now I'm a, you know, after 16 years I've kind of finally got my black belt, you know. So, but it's, you know, it's good, it's been a long journey. I've traveled the world and you know, lived in Hawaii, trained with BJ Penn in Brazil, in Japan. So you know, it's been a long time coming, and I've still got a lot of things to learn. You know, like you're always learning something. So, but I've been in a game for a long time. But
So along the way, you know, you said 16 years in it. Are there people? Like throughout that time that you maybe trained with or people you met that were really like an inspiration to you to kind of like make you want to push it to that next level?
You know, I went back then, it was, you know, there was not really much stuff on internet, and I'd be ordering, you know, the VHSs, the cassette players to watch, you know, the Gracies or a Mario Sperry or something on a video cassette just to get some extra technique and stuff. Right. But then, you know, I took it to the next level and hopped on a plane and flew to, you know, America to where it was all happening. And, you know, I was in the Raw Center that was in El Segundo in California, and that's where everyone was training there at the time when everyone was together. You had Randy Couture there, you know, Dan Henderson was there, Rico Ciparelli was like, you know, it was, everyone was there. But now they've got so many gyms all over America, all over Australia, all over the world that cater for MMA. It's amazing how much it's just blowing up.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, I live in the Midwest now, and you know, it's not, you know, live in Indiana. Whenever, you know, I know especially Americans, they think of Indiana, they definitely don't think of there being probably much of a scene here. But, you know, there's several really good schools to learn, especially jiu-jitsu. You know, there's a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school just about an hour away. And then there's a 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu school about 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And, you know, they also teach Jeet Kune Do at one at the Gracie School. And so it's, you know, it's something that, like you said, it's everywhere now. And people kind of, I think a lot of people don't realize how hard it might have been, you know, back whenever you were getting into, you know, you had to, like you said, get on a plane and go halfway around the world just to find a good group of guys to train with.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But now it's, you could just walk down the street or drive down the street and there's a, and there's a gym. So
yeah, you could just, I could just hop on the internet and, you know, just type in something on Google and, you know, you see it just all over the place. There's, you know, there's schools and guys doing different things. And it's, I think it's a good thing because, you know, I've never been into any martial arts or anything. My grandfather taught me how to box whenever I was younger, but I never competed or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm thinking about maybe getting into, you know, possibly jiu-jitsu. Because, I mean, I'm about to turn 30. You know, I've got a daughter, so I don't really need to be getting kicked in the head. If I'm not doing it professionally, you know, if it's not my paycheck, then I'd rather not.
And that's the thing. Like, you've got to enjoy it as well.
Right.
You know, you want to be hungry to, if you're going to step in there. Because it's a hurt game. This is the hurt game we're in. You know, someone's going to get hurt. So if you train hard and go in at 100%, you know, you're less likely to get hurt. But if you don't train hard and you're going in half-hearted, you know, this is hurt games, you know, you're going to get hurt.
Exactly. So, so I guess, you know, I was going to ask if there was like, I mean, have you ever had times where you had a hard time staying motivated? Or is it just, you know, every day you kind of get up and ready to go at it again?
Yeah, the thing is, it's like you just gotta. There is times and days and that, and sometimes you do have to listen to your body and rest. But you know, I do have naps during the day, like even if it's for an hour. But there's some days where you know, kind of get up. But my body's works on a clock, so it's already up. When, you know, if I'm training at like 5 a.m, I'm already used to getting up anyway. So, and it gets up and I just have to get it done. And once it's done, it's out of the way. Then you move on to your next session. So, you know, I train 2 to 3 times a day sometimes, you know, but it's, you know, it's how hard you want to put in. It's, you know, and also with that, on top of that, you know, I do Pilates and sometimes yoga and that just to get flexibility in that as well. So,
Yeah, yoga is one thing that I do personally. I should do it more often. But you know, that's one thing that is probably easier to find a jiu-jitsu school than it is a good yoga studio around here. Just because you know, there's no yoga like on TV on pay-per-view. So you know, it's just a different thing. But So I've watched some of your past fights, and I noticed that, I mean, your ground and pound is really nasty. There were several fights that I saw you finish guys off. Is that one of your like preferred techniques or styles, I guess you would say, or is it just whatever happens, you know?
Yeah, it's one of my styles. If it hits the ground, it's like, and the thing is, it's, you know, it's cool. People can finish fights on the ground. Like, you can finish things on the ground. But, I can finish fights on the ground. I can finish fights standing up. But my favorite is the ground. And if I end up on my back or top, it doesn't really bother me. And that's, so if we're standing up, it doesn't really bother me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to you know what there's ahead. And the thing is, you know, I've trained in everything, so I made sure I have everything covered. So
you're hitting different things, you're training some jiu-jitsu one point in the day maybe, and then later on you're working on some boxing or wrestling. It's amazing to see how, like, if you watch the early, like, especially in the UFC, you know, that's what I'm most familiar with. obviously, but like, you know, there was guys who are really dominant, say like in jiu-jitsu, really dominant, you know, one punch knockout type guys, and they were able to, you know, they were able to get the belt in their division, or, you know, and be really successful. And you're really seeing, at least, you know, as a fan, you know, this is just, you know, I don't know anything about it firsthand, but I've noticed that it's going more and more to guys who are, like you were talking about, really willing to put in the work and be diverse and be okay to stand up and throw, or be willing to take it to the mat and wrestle or use the jiu-jitsu. And it seems like it's less and less of natural ability, and like you said, it's more and more about who's going to be the hungriest, who's putting in the most time.
And that's what it comes down to: who's more hungry when you're up in your morning, is your opponent up in the morning? Do you know what I mean? It's like that extra inch, the extra mile you run, you know. So it's what you put in. It's all the hard work and that you put in. So, and I've been doing this for the last 3 years. I haven't stopped. And I'm happy that I'm back in the UFC, and I'm thankful for Dana White and Joe Silva for adding me onto their roster again. So, can't wait.
Yeah, I was looking at your record, and I didn't realize. See, the last guy that you lost to was Daniel Cormier, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Right? I didn't realize that. He's no joke. And I believe, I mean, he's up there in like the top five, if not top 10 heavyweights in the UFC, as far as their little ranking system that they use.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if they actually put Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez. So, but you know, that's up to UFC, I guess. But you know, that'd be a good fight.
Yeah, a couple heavy-handed fellas there.
Yeah,
and it's funny because I'm a big fan of Junior Dos Santos, and it's funny. I mean, he's still he's still somebody also to be reckoned with. But I've noticed a lot of people. They were really quick to kind of hop on the bandwagon, as it were, and say that, they want to see Velasquez, more his fights. And I think Dos Santos is an interesting fighter. I mean, there's several really interesting heavyweights. Bigfoot Silva.
Yeah.
Mark Hunt is always an awesome fighter. I was blown away, especially whenever I saw the x-ray of Stefan Struve's jaw and how badly it got broken.
Yeah.
That man can punch hard.
Yeah, he can. People underestimate Mark. They really underestimate him on how hard he can punch, because this guy can punch hard.
Yeah, when I watched that, I was confused because, you know, Struve is... he's a gamer, he's I can't remember who he was fighting, but I remember one of his wins, he was so bloody. I mean, his entire head and shoulder, it was just blood everywhere, but he wound up pulling off a submission, I believe, to finish it. But whenever he took I believe it was a left hook from Mark Hunt, and he went down. He didn't seem to be knocked out, but he immediately looked to the ref. And at the time, I was confused because I was like, that's not like him. Usually, he's ready for anything. He'll fight until it's over. But then seeing the picture of his jaw, He posted it the next day or something, or later that night. Yeah. And I was like, well, that makes a little more sense now. Could probably feel that right away.
And that's the thing with Mark. You don't underestimate this guy, because as soon as you underestimate Mark, he loves that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, that's what drives Mark. You know, he being the underdog his wrestling's good. Mark's wrestling is awesome. You know, his takedowns. He's even doing takedowns on people. You know, if he's like a K-1 world champion, he's doing takedowns. So
yeah, I was impressed with how he was able to defend against Drew's jiu-jitsu. Because a 7-foot-tall guy who is that skilled at submissions, and the way he was able to defend it was interesting to watch. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think Strood kind of went into that game underestimating Mark. He thought that he could just use his height and height advantage and stuff, you know, with Mark. But Mark's, you know, on another level. You know, he can. Mark and bang, and but Mark would have played that fight really smart, you know. So and make sure he got in and got in to throw punches. But you know, that was a good fight for Mark and good win. And you know, he's now moving on to fight Junior Dos Santos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew that he'd had another fight lined up pretty quickly after that. I wasn't sure. So, man, that'll be a good one to watch.
That's
one of those fights where, you know, every once in a while, you know, everybody, I think, kind of has fighters, or at least as a fan, you know, you have the fighters that you kind of become a fan of, you know, over their career. And I've been a fan of Dos Santos, but I'm a big fan of Mark Hunt, too.
Yeah.
You know, Struve also, I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, when I was watching those guys fight, it was one of those, you know, where you can't root for either guy, you know, because I like watching them both fight. And it was just, you know that they're going to, you know, something interesting is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same way with Mark fighting Junior Dos Santos. That's going to be one of those where I'm just going to, you know, feel fortunate to be able to watch the fight. You know, I won't be
one of them. Yeah, exactly. But
Mark definitely beat the odds makers in Vegas on that one. They had him at like a 285 over, so anybody who was smart enough to put a little bit of money on him, they cleaned up pretty good.
Oh, good on Mark. You know, he's earned it. He's, you know, he's had a good career in his fight career, and he's earned it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the same with you. I feel like, you know, I've been following you on Twitter for, gosh, probably at least a year, if not longer. And seeing what you've gone through with some of these promotions. I mean, you had an issue with 1FC.
Yeah.
And you're gonna fight Arlovsky. And then what happened there? Because I know there was an issue.
You know, it's the 1FC thing. It was a one fight deal, and I think someone did an interview with Dana White, and Dana White said about, you know, if he beats Andrei Arlovsky, then you know he's definitely on the radar. So then 1FC hit us up to sign a 5-fight deal. And I declined, but I mean, I was happy just to fight him for that one deal, and so then the fight was off. So,
yeah, which is so unfortunate, because he went on. Tim Sylvia went on to take that fight, and Arlovsky won, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he?
It was a no contest because he got. It was a soccer kick on the ground, but I mean, Arlovsky had a clearly won, but I think it's at the end of the day, you know, come down to who, you know, the ref kind of stepped in and stopped it.
Yeah. Have you ever had instances with you personally, like where the ref stepped in and you felt like maybe it was the early stoppage, or, you know, you kind of...
No. you know, you, I mean, if you're on the top end of the ref stopping you from, you know, from your opponent, it's a good thing. You stop it early. It's like, oh yeah, cool. You can go out and eat.
Right.
But you know, I've never had that. And never had any problems
with that. Well, that's good because I know that's one thing that, you know, every once in a while you'll see it. But I think the refs are getting better and better, especially in the UFC. You're seeing guys like, I think it's Herb Dean has set up a school in MMA reffing. I'm not sure where at. But I heard him talking about that on another podcast, and I think that's a great idea. Now, if only they could do something with these judges.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, it's like, it makes you wonder, like, what some of these judges were looking at, because it seems like they were watching a different fight than the one I saw. But, you know, that's their place, you know, and... Mm-hmm. That's all, the way they get those jobs, you know, with the gaming commissions and stuff, that's all, you know, that gets into politics and stuff, so. I think, you know, for me as a fan, I think, and most fans would agree, you know, sometimes it goes to a decision, and I don't mind that, except that every once in a while, I mean, you can count on it like clockwork, like every two or three events, you're going to see at least a couple of terrible decisions.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, what happened here? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name any fights. I've seen a couple in the last couple months that I don't know anything. You know, I only know what I see and, you know, what I've learned from watching fights and, you know, things like that, but it's like, you know, so, you know, I'm not in a position to question their expertise, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I know little kids who could have watched that fight and liked it better, but, you know, I guess that's part of it, which is, I think, a big part of why most people want to see fights finished.
Yep.
And, I mean, is there anything, like, you know, they've got the... I've seen a lot of guys take advantage of whenever they're in a clinch and it's, you know, it's like they're close enough to the ground where they can get a hand down on the mat that they'll go ahead and do that to make sure they don't catch any knees. And it's kind of, in a way, I mean, you know, that's the rules. But to me, watching, you know, especially in certain instances, it's like they're specifically reaching down to that mat so they know they don't catch any knees. And if they do catch any knees, that's going to be called an illegal blow.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about like some of the rules like that?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it should be, you know, that's appropriate, or do you think there should be, you know, just more like kind of, you know, let it go and see what happens?
You're talking about the knee to the head on the ground?
Yeah, or you know, not necessarily to the knee. I mean, I've seen guys, you know, they'll put their hand down, you know, they're still standing, quote unquote, with like they're in a clinch with another guy, and if they're pulled down low enough in that clinch. I don't know necessarily what the technical term for it would be, but they'll reach down and they'll make sure that they got one hand on the mat as they're defending, just so they don't catch any knees, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other things. You know, I've heard interviews with guys like Uriah Faber, you know, who has said, you know, he feels like if he's gotten himself in a position where someone is able to kick him or knee him while he's down, then it's kind of his fault. And so he thinks it should be legal. I mean, do you agree with that?
I think it's the rules are the rules. If you're going to disrespect the rules, you know, you're going to get disqualified. So I think you stick to the rules. I mean, it's if one hand's down on the ground, there's obviously no knee.
Right.
especially like, you know, but, you know, there's rules there for a reason. And it's not no holds barred. It's, you know, it's mixed martial arts. So, and it's mixed martial arts for a reason with rules that are implemented by, you know, the commission, you know, the Nevada Boxing Commission.
Right. And, you know, so. And it seems like, I mean, they're not arbitrary, you know, from what I see as a fan, you know, it seems like it's pretty much, you know, things like that, limitations, they're in the interest of the fighters, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to see a guy catch a really bad knockout, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I personally, you know, I mean, a knockout is exciting.
Yeah.
You know, if I see somebody land a good knockout, yeah, that's exciting to see. But then there's certain ones that you see that it's almost like, oh, you know, it's like almost too much to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the the Ultimate Fighter, or if you've seen footage of, can't remember that guy's name, Uriah Hall, I believe.
Yep.
Did you see that, I believe it's called a wheel kick that he landed?
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and he knocked that guy out so badly. It was almost like, tough to watch.
Yep.
And it's, you know,
you just gotta keep your hands up, that's all. Keep your hands up, and you know, if someone's gonna do one of them kicks, you know, just move away.
Right.
It's only effective if you stand there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's whatever
kicks it is.
Yeah, it's just like the you know, Anderson Silva got famous, you know, when he caught I'm drawing a blank. With that front kick. And, you know, it's the only front kick that has ever, you know, right to the guy's face and knocked him out cold. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his opponent's name. Man. But anyway, you know, that's not a, you know, if you talk to guys who have a background in Taekwondo and things like that, you know, they'll tell you that's not a technical kick. You know, that's something you learn early on. It's just, you don't see it used a lot because it's, you know, most guys, it's pretty hard to land something like that on them. You know, they're looking for a big kick like that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, now that, so you've got a contract for 4 fights now with the UFC, right?
Sure have. Yeah, I've got a. So I signed a 4-fight deal with the UFC. So, you know, the first fight coming up on June the 15th in Canada, Winnipeg. So I'm looking forward to that fight.
That's great. That's it's just a couple weeks after my birthday. I definitely look forward to seeing you fighting. So after you sign that deal, I mean, obviously that's exciting, you know, to get in and get a multiple fight deal with a big promotion. And does that add to the pressure, or does that kind of, is that more motivation for you, or both?
You know, that adds, it doesn't really matter because I know exactly what I'm doing now. So, you know, with that pressure, there's no, not really, you only let pressure get to you if it's, you know, if you, you know, just, you just got to relax and just go with the flow. So, you know, come time to fight, you know, the whole crowd, I've been there before anyway, so just go in there, have a bit of fun and keep the hands up, that's all.
Right. So once you step into the, you know, ring or octagon or whatever it is, are you, you know, can you describe that a little bit? I mean, is it like, you know, everything just gets drowned out and you're just focused on the other man, or, you know, is it the size of the crowd, just
stick to the game plan. That's all. Just stick to the game plan and making sure your game plan sticks. You know, like just make sure that's but you've got to be learn to adapt very quickly as well with a game plan. If things don't happen the way you want it to happen, you've got to adapt very quickly. So,
all right. How important is it for you to have a good corner man who's giving you advice in between rounds?
Yeah, very important. Obviously, that, you know, they can see things that you can't see. So, you know, you always got to, it's good to listen to your corner and listen to what they're saying, because some of the stuff that they're saying is that you don't even know. So, you know, you're doing that that you should be doing in there. So,
yeah, that's one thing that that's another thing I've noticed, you know, as a fan, and I've kind of picked up on the guys who have good cornermen, they seem to be much more successful. Because you'll see some guys and they clearly just lost a round.
Yeah.
But then they go to their corner and their cornermen are, you know, they're giving them water and they're telling them they're doing great. And they're not really giving them any kind of specific instructions like, hey, you know, use your jab more or, you know, defend the takedown. And usually you see those guys wind up losing the fight.
Yeah.
And so it seems like me that it almost, at that point, I mean, it's still, you know, it's just you and they're fighting one other guy, but it almost takes on a sort of team aspect, you know, like you've got the support in your corner there. Is there anybody specific you would like to maybe take on in the future? I mean, you got four fights.
Doesn't really bother me. Whatever the UFC give me, you know, I'll take and, you know, I'll do my best in that. So, I'm happy to be on this UFC 161, and you know, it's I'm looking forward to getting in there and showcasing my skills.
Well, that's great, and I look forward to seeing you in there. And not to be biased, but I think Steve Miocic is definitely going to have his hands full.
yeah. You know what? We're both explosive fighters, so you know, I don't see it going to decision. I see someone winning by. You know, so we'll see what happens. You know, we're both explosive fighters. I don't see it going past the first round. You know, he's got good stand-up, strong stand-up, and, you know, I've got a good stand-up, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Well, I know I look forward to it, and, you know, it'll be a great fight, I'm sure. All the best of luck, even though I know you don't need it. I know you stay motivated on your own.
Thanks.
I really appreciate you doing my podcast again.
No, easy, man. You know, big thanks to my fans and you know, fans for if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here. And, like, it's for any fighter. Also, a big thank you to you as well for having me on your show and doing your podcast. And it's people like you guys are the ones that are spreading the word, so we really appreciate it. And also to you know, Southern CrossFit, the strength and conditioning guys. You know, Mac Boots are my major sponsor. Big thanks to them as well. Limousine Excursions. You know, it's been awesome. But that, you know, my sports management team, Audi and Saya from Paradigm. You know, they're awesome, and you know, it's great to have them on the team and be working with them guys. So.
Awesome, and I was really glad when I read that you've got four fights that you're signed for. So I look forward to, obviously, your one that you've already got locked down with Stipe. And I look forward to the ones that you have in the future.
All right. Thank you.
You have a great day, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Colin. See you, bro. Bye.